Coming up next, another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237.
Welcome to another edition of Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, president of Local 237 Teamsters. With us, a very special guest with an extensive bio. I usually don't read it all, but this one I have to read the entire bio. Assemblyman Kwani O'Farrell. Kwani O'Farrell has an impressive long-standing record in public service, protecting our nation, New York City, and state. He served in the Navy from 1990 to 1994 as a radio man, petty officer, third class. He's a retired New York City detective, having served 25 years with NYPD. While with the NYPD, his career included being an active involved with officer with school safety, incidents of domestic violence, gang into investigations, and plainclothes assignments. Kwani went on to becoming a member of the Chief of Department's office and then assigned to the Office Intelligence Bureau, where he had the honor of protecting dignitaries such as President Obama and Trump. Kwani's contributions extend beyond law enforcement to the community building too. Following in the footsteps of his grandfather, James O'Farrell, who was just recently inducted into the Boxing Hall of Fame, who opened Starrett City Boxing in 1978, Kwani became the group's third generation president. Kwani's certified as a U.S. boxing coach and boxing fitness coach. In 2019, Kwani co-founded Cops and Kids Long Island to work with local leaders and organizations to participate in events to administer programs such as National Night Out, Know Your Rights and Responsibilities, and Operation Give Back. Kwani's also created specialized units such as SACRO, which he forges connections between communities and faith-based organizations, local businesses, and law enforcement. Kwani is a New York State Department of Criminal Justice law enforcement instructor who assists police officers, candidates with physical training and ensure they meet the initial physical requirements. Kwani's acts of compassion and leadership earned him a recognition from both Newsday and News 12 because during the pandemic, he worked with local leaders and personally funded the delivery of food to homebound individuals when Meals on Wheels services was disrupted by Suffolk County. Prior to becoming an assemblyman, Kwani was employed by Brentwood System and he became a member of Local 237. Kwani and his wife and four children and five grandchildren live in Suffolk County. Well, you must be tired because I don't know how you found time to do all that in a short span of life.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. I just give grace to God and my grandparents for raising me right and ensuring that I do the right thing by the people. When there's an opportunity to do the right thing, I jump in, you know, both feet and two hands, you know, and providing services to those that are less fortunate. And that's always been me. That's my spirit. That's the way I was raised. And nothing's going to change, even while I'm in office.
What motivated you to run for office?
Well, I've always been a public servant for pretty much three quarters of my life, serving in the military, abroad, you know, protecting our great nation, as well as protecting New Yorkers and visitors that came into New York State as a detective with NYPD. And I think it was just a natural progression for me. At the time, my predecessor had retired, and we needed to fill the void. And, you know, I wanted to ensure that, you know, I can bring voice to the voiceless and I can help the hopeless and give them an opportunity to see that I'm the best candidate for the job. And I'm going to continue to do what I've been doing. But now it's on a larger scale and trying to do what I can to make things livable in Long Island.
Let me tell you, I've meeting you shamelessly for the first time. And I'm glad that I'm meeting you. and talking to you, I'm very impressed with you. I'm impressed with
Thank
your
you.
what you've done. I'm impressed with what you're going to do, because I have a very good judge of character, and I know when somebody's real. And you, as and I don't say this too often, and I don't say it publicly, but you are as real as it gets. And anyone in the sound of my voice, please support Kwandi O'Farrell in any way possible, because we will be in the business of Kwandi O'Farrell.
Thank
I'm
you.
impressed.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
during your campaign to get elected. Can you tell us about any experiences that particularly impacted you?
I had quite a few, Mr. President. But I could tell you one story, a very short story. So, as I was campaigning, we call it canvassing, but it's really knocking on doors and just, reaching out to the constituents. And there was this young lady who wasn't quite comfortable with the process and didn't understand how government works. So I grew up in the 70s. I'm a 70s child, and we had this show called Schoolhouse Rock. Well, it was a commercial called Schoolhouse Rock. And I kind of gave her the Schoolhouse Rock version. I was much more older than she was, but I gave her the Schoolhouse Rock version, and she understood. She got it. And to me, it felt like there was a connection between the two, because I took out some time out of my schedule and I sat there for probably about 30, 40 minutes explaining it to her. And she started to cry. And I didn't understand what that emotion was all about, what brought it on. And she explained to me that the reason why she was crying is because nobody, no elected official, has really took out the time out of their schedule to sit down and chat with her and just give her the basics on how bills are formed and how it goes through the government. Although I gave her the federal government version, but the same thing applied up here in Albany. And she was really, really appreciative of that and gave me a hug. And I was like, oh, okay. I'm like, wow. To me, people see me as a regular person, but they see me as a politician. And like, it's not, I guess it's difficult for them because they feel sometimes like I'm unapproachable. And when I do have a conversation, I'm like, well, stop. Let's hold on a second. Let's have a conversation. Let's talk. I want to hear what interests you. I want to hear what issues you may have, because I can't be the best advocate or the voice for you if you can't speak up and tell me what's going on in your community. So I think that experience alone taught me something, that people really, really care about what I have to say. And it brought me closer to the community and to her, for that matter.
Well, I could what I take from that experience, and very few people who are elected, they think they're too busy to stop and just talk. And you stopped and talked with that young lady, and she's going to be your person in your business for the rest of your career, because you took the time. When you said Schoolhouse Rock, I understood Saturday morning Schoolhouse Rock. I'm
Yes.
just a bill on Capitol Hill. I remember that.
That's
Yeah,
right.
and those are still available if anybody's interested on YouTube. And they used to teach us conjunctions and grammar and everything else. And
Yeah.
it was a very, very good way of explaining how government worked to children. But it's not easy, because a lot of people don't know who their elected officials are. They don't know who to call for what. They don't know, well, you don't call the President of the United States for a local problem. You don't call the Nassau County or Suffolk County executive for a local problem. You have assembly, you have senators, you have, I would say, council districts, you have school
Yes.
boards. I mean, there's so many things that we don't understand and take the time to learn. And I would say politics is going on while we're sleeping. They don't understand. People plot to take away rights while we're sleeping, in different positions, and we're just waking up to those things. But it's very important for people to understand what it is you're voting for, who you're voting for, and what it means for your future, because everything's built brick by brick. And if you don't
Correct.
understand, if you miss a brick, everything falls down. So I
Absolutely.
commend you for taking time to seeing that young lady and just explaining to her what politics is and what you were running for and how things work.
Absolutely. And I will do it again. Any of my constituents that are near, if they see me, I tell them all the time, if you see me up in the hallways in Albany, if you see me out in the community, just stop me. Let's have a conversation.
How has your past work history prepared you for your role in the assembly?
In the assembly. The assembly is a different place. And I would definitely have to say my military experience, traveling abroad, understanding how other countries function and how policies work, gave me the opportunity and somewhat of an insight to understand how things are done in Albany. I'd also like to add to that that my police officer experience, being a law enforcement officer for 25 years, protecting New Yorkers all across New York State and New York City, gave me the opportunity to interact with many elected officials and even protecting many elected officials and understanding the little inner workings of how things work up in Albany. But, you know, even with all that experience, it never prepares you for once you get into it, right? Once you get, you know, yourself involved and learn how things work up in Albany and nuances. That's one thing that you can never prepare for, those nuances. But I think the discipline alone, because there are some very, very long nights and days up here in Albany, prepared me for that and allow me to understand that, you know, I work for the people. I'm always going to be a lifelong public servant. So I'm at the behest of my constituents. And I think that that discipline alone prepared me for what's to come.
You're listening to Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, president of Local 237 Teamsters. Very special guest, Assemblyman Kwani O'Farrell. And we're here talking about his career and his achievements. Most recently in your career, you provided security in the Brentwood school system and joined the Teamsters as a union member. Why did you join the union?
Well, I've always been a union person. So going back to my days of NYPD, I was part of the Police Benevolent Association. Then I got promoted and became a detective. And then I was part of the Detective Endowment Association. But not only that, I grew up in a union strong household. So that's all we knew was union strong and supporting unions, because without our unions, we can't get our fair share. And unfortunately, we have to continue to fight for what's right. It's not fighting for just our members. We're fighting for our families. And while fighting for our families' families, and making sure that we're able to get those, you know, those dental plans, who pays for that? We have to fight for that. Making sure that, you know, we get our eyeglasses, making sure we get the health coverage. We need a union membership, and I've always been supportive of them, even during my candidacy and even now in office. I'm always hand in hand with our unions, ensuring that they get what they deserve.
Very good, very good. As a new Albany legislator, any surprises so far?
The one surprise is the whole entire budget process, not understanding how that works. I think that to me, it wasn't necessarily a shock, but it was a surprise in understanding how we navigate that process, you know, with the policy part and the financial part. So not understanding that there are a lot of policies involved in the budget. The budget is not just monetary. There are other things that are included in that. So I think that was the biggest surprise to me, not understanding how that worked. But now I'm getting through the process and understanding it, and I'm more prepared for next time when that does come up. But aside from that, I don't think there aren't many surprises.
Now, generically, just briefly, tell us how that budget process works, because you're not just negotiating with yourself. You had the whole New York State legislature, which includes the governor. So just give us the School Rock version of the process.
So the process helping up here in Albany is you have a set of bills. Right. So you have your priority bills, things that are very, very important and near and dear to you, or that whoever that senator or member is, two houses. So we have the Senate and we have the Assembly, and then we have the executive. Right. So when we put together a budget, we have to find out what the needs are, and the needs are encompass the entire state. So when we put the budget together, there goes everything from hospitals, everything for funding for K through 12, funding for SUNY and CUNY. Funding for sometimes for hospitals. So all these things come into play, and other special things that we have to put into the budget monetarily to make sure that the government continues to grow, right, and continue to make sure it gets paid. But we also have to understand that we have to make investments, right? So our investments could be anything from road repair, making sure infrastructure is taken care of, clean water, all those things in the environment, which we're hugely responsible for. And how do we pay for that? So that money comes in, a lot of that money comes in through taxpayer dollars, not property tax, but regular taxpayer dollars, sales income tax, whatever other investments we have. And then we get all that money in and we figure out, okay, this is all the money we have. Now, how are we going to split it amongst the entire state? So that's kind of like the short version of it. And then what we do as legislators, we fight, right? We have to make sure that our districts and New Yorkers are getting their fair share. And there's a back and forth. There's a back and forth in the assembly, and there's a back and forth in the Senate, trying to make sure that our constituents and all New Yorkers are getting what they deserve. And then once we get that in the budget, we said, okay, here's our budget, $254 billion at this point. And then you have policy issues that we have to work on. It could be anything from discovery, any type of reform for criminal justice, things of that matter that we have to hash out. And then once we do those two and we come to an agreement, both houses, the Senate and the Assembly, then we submit it to the executive level, which is governor, for approval. But of course, prior to that, we have to vote on that. And then hopefully the governor will accept the actual proposal, the budget, and then the budget gets passed. And then there we go. Then we're done. Done as far as the budget is concerned. Right. We're never done here. Right. So our work continues after the budget is passed.
And this process continues every year. Every year is the same thing with the budget.
Every year. And the budget is due April 1st. So our fiscal year concludes March 31st, and the new fiscal year continues on April 1st. And what a lot of people don't know is that if we don't get the budget passed and done on April 1st, we don't get paid. So all the legislators in the Senate and the Assembly do not get a check. So me, I'm doing the work of the people. And if I'm not getting paid, I have to make sure that I'm doing the best that I can for not just my district, but the rest of the state as well. And I have bills. I'm just like everyone else. I have to pay bills, but I'm a public servant doing the work of the people. And once that gets done, then I can get paid. So it's not about the money right now. It's about the people.
I'm glad you've explained that so eloquently to our listenership. What do you hope to achieve during your first term? What are your top priorities for your Long Island district and beyond?
So my priorities haven't changed. And I said the same thing. I echoed this during my campaign, is making sure that our seniors are taken care of, making sure they can age with dignity, making sure that our veterans that come home to Long Island, making sure that they can live and live with peace, and making sure we provide them with necessary services. Also making sure that the funding ratio formula, the formula that we get to pay for our educational system from K through 12, making sure that our school districts all across my district is properly funded, making sure that we have services for our English language learners, and also ensuring that some of our kids that have issues with learning, or making sure they're taken care of and the schools are properly funded. Also, our environment. We can't live without our environment. We have to invest and constantly reinvest in our environment. So making sure that those things are taken care of, and that's part of my priority list, and that hasn't changed. And moving forward and championing, and also making sure that our people know that they have someone in office that they can trust to do the right thing.
No, that's very good. I was sitting here thinking about when you said veterans, and Long Island is known for its numerous amount of veterans. In any area in New York, Long Island is known for having veterans. I don't know if we have the most, but we do have our share of veterans in Long Island. And yeah, as you go through the different towns, you'll see pictures of veterans who served, whether it was World War I going all the way to Afghanistan, you'll see signs with their pictures of veterans that were lost in the war.
Yeah, and we have to protect them when they're coming home. They're giving their life for us. And you know, they're giving up everything for us, and we have to do our best to make sure that they return home and we take care of them. It's our right.
Yes, very good, very good. How do you ensure that your constituents' voices are heard in the assembly?
So what I do is, you know, again, during my campaign, and I've been doing it, a few times before a break during my session when I'm back on the weekends, I go out and I knock on the door. I come exactly to where my constituents are, where they live, work, and play. And I ask them questions, and I'll introduce myself. And Yeah, how you doing, sir or ma'am? My name is Assemblyman O'Farrell, and I represent District 11. And whether I'm in Wyandanch, Wheatley Heights, Copaig, Lindenhurst, it doesn't matter. I don't know what are your issues. What's bothering you? So that I can take that fight up to Albany. So this is the best way for me to find out and understand what's going on with my constituent base, is understanding what their issues are. And things change. Today could be one issue. It could be a pothole in the road, or tomorrow it can be their Social Security. It could be anything. So wherever that issue is, I need to continue to listen and keep my ear to the ground.
Okay. And how do you plan to work with the other lawmakers to achieve bipartisan solutions?
Well, you know what? It's common sense. It's what works best for our district. And working across party lines has never been an issue for me. Although we have different political ideologies, we have the same mission and purpose, is taking care of home first. And that's it. And the Republicans will tell you the same thing. And so how can we get this job done? What can we do better for our district?
Sounds
That's
good.
it.
And tell us what your district encompasses, the communities in your district, because assembly districts are different than senatorial, congressional,
Yes.
and council. So people get confused on who you represent, how many people, how many districts. Because when you hear, I heard Wyandance, but you're more than Wyandance. I heard Wheatley
Yes.
Heights. So you have a couple of communities there. So just tell us what those community, who those communities are.
Sure. So for many of you who don't know, I actually cover parts of Nassau as well. So I cover East Massapequa, and I cover part of Farmingdale once you cross over the Suffolk County line. So I also cover Wheatley Heights, Wyandanch, Copaig, Amityville, Lindenhurst, a part of North Babylon, a part of West Babylon, and a part of Deer Park. So I cover quite a bit of territory. And just so your viewers know, that the Assembly District is a little bit smaller than the Senate District. So the Senate District is much larger. So my district kind of overlaps not just with the Senate, but other legislators as well.
Yes, and of course the congressional district is much larger than the Senate district.
Correct.
So,
The U.S. Congressional District. Yes.
and then if we get to the state senators, we know that's the whole state, all 62 counties.
Right, 62 counties, and part of the so with I cover parts of territory that overlap with Senator Monica Martinez, who's been a steadfast supporter of many things in District 11. So it's great to have her as a partner.
Very good. Listen, I mean, you've given us a wealth of information in a short period of time. Anytime you want to come back, even if you want to come back and discuss the process of what went on with the budget, you're welcome to come back. You don't need an
Awesome.
invitation, just a phone call, and you're on.
Okay. All right.
So you got a standing invitation. If it's something important to you that you want to get out to the community, come on. You got a message?
I
Come
love
on.
it.
You have
I
a
appreciate it.
standing invitation to come on. You're reaching out anytime you're available and you want to come on reaching out, you want to discuss anything.
Okay. All right.
So
I'll take you up on that. I appreciate it. Thank you so much for the
good. And
opportunity.
Assemblyman Farrell, it's been a pleasure talking to you. And in about a minute, is there anything that you want to say that we didn't cover?
Well, yes, as a matter of fact, next time you see me, if you see me out and about, feel free, stop in, have a conversation with me. Maybe I'm having a beer, I'm just a regular Joe Schmo, just here advocating on behalf of my district, and I would love to hear what you have to say.
Very good. We all have a standing invitation to have a beer with Assemblyman Kwame O'Farrell. So we're going to take you up on that offer.
Sounds like a good idea. I
Been a
love it.
pleasure. You've
Been
been
a pleasure,
listening
sir.
to, thank you. You've been listening to Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, President of Local 237 Teamsters. Very special guest was Assemblyman Kwame O'Farrell, who is going to be a star. You heard it. I'm telling you, he's going to be a star. He's going to be a success in whatever he wants to do. And we appreciate you coming on, and thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Take care, everyone. And Teamsters is Local 237 all the way.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to tune in again each and every Saturday at this same time for another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237. The preceding pre-recorded program paid for by Teamsters Local 237.